recommendation for double face coverings and are looking at us providing a secondary face covering to all students and staff while on site. May I click to the next slide? Oh, there it is. I can't make that. That's the visual of the PPE available in the warehouse. Next slide. Thank you. This is just a reminder, as we've taken each school campus is equipped with multiple layers of visual communication, health screening signs, the health and screening just practices, hand washing signs for throughout the campus. Every campus has 2 to 4 drinking fountains that have been converted to hand washing stations and been provided at least one bottle filler in addition to any they already have on campus. Secondly, we have the foggers. The custodial teams are continuing to utilize those every day in all occupied spaces. And then lastly, we continue to push the availability and resources to administrators in what I'm now referring to as a toolkit, but it's virtual and they can access any of the signage, any of the training manuals, any of the information on the INRs, et cetera, and we update that accordingly. Thank you.
Dr. Winters?
Good evening. This slide shows us the process and the overall summary of the data that we post on our Sweetwater website called a reopening dashboard. And it shows how we track COVID symptoms, exposure, and positive rates on our related to our campuses. And so on the left-hand side, you see that process chart whereby a potential, either someone with COVID symptoms or someone who's been exposed to COVID or is COVID positive, notifies someone at our site. They then text a group of leaders and follow that up with an email to then receive a conversation with one of our staff members who determines whether or not that case fits to be reported in our reopening dashboard. So if it does fit, and indeed it is a COVID positive case of an individual who is on our campus, student or staff, then we add it to the dashboard. And if it doesn't fit that case, sometimes, for example, we have people exposed to or with symptoms that don't lead to a COVID positive rate, then we don't add them to the dashboard. And on the right-hand side, you can see since November, we've been tracking that data. And I'll take you through, if you don't mind, looking at the November lines. I'll explain to you each one of those and what it represents. The first lighter blue tall line is the number of students who are coming to our schools in the academic cohorts. And that's the academic cohorts only and not the athletics. The second large or tall blue line is the number of staff members who are coming on campus on a weekly basis, and that's in November. Followed by the numbers you can barely see, a small number of district staff who have been reported based on the process I just described as COVID positive that are coming on campus. And that's not to say they were exposed on campus. In fact, we've seen no evidence of that, but they happen to be a part of those cohorts that were on campus. And then the smaller middle blue line there are the students who are part of those cohorts who were COVID positive during those months. And finally, we did report out the athletic cases of those who were reported COVID positive and part of our athletic cohorts. And so you can see that data shows that trend from November through February. And we do update this every 2 weeks.
And that moves us into athletics. Dr. Moore?
Thank you, Dr. Alvarez, and thank you, trustees and the public. We have had sports going on our campuses for a few months now. Prior to the official start of sports, most of our campuses had athletic cohorts beginning in October and November of 2020. Starting just a few weeks ago, once guidance came from the California Department of Public Health and CIF, sports that started just a few weeks ago include cross country, swim and dive, golf, tennis, and track and field. Those sports have begun practicing, and they have also had competitions on our campuses and at the local pools and golf courses. what will be starting next week, because the guidance from the California Department of Public Health has been issued, are the sports that you see listed in the middle of the slide, which include field hockey, co-ed football, co-ed roller hockey, softball, baseball, lacrosse, water polo, soccer, and competitive cheer. The asterisks next to football and water polo denotes that the guidelines have been issued from the California Department of Public Health, but there's also some other protocols that have to be followed in order for co-ed football and water polo to occur. They have been identified as close contact sports, and as such, there's some testing protocols and other, and some more screening protocols that have to be put in place. But the intent, should this plan be approved by the board, would be to begin these sports per their start dates that are associated with CIF, and those dates range from the beginning of March into the middle of March for those sports listed. There are some sports that we are waiting for further guidance on, and those include basketball, volleyball, gymnastics, and wrestling. Those have been identified as indoor sports, and as we have learned in this pandemic, indoor sports and indoor settings can have a higher risk of transmission, particularly if other mitigating factors are not in place. So there is some more guidance before those sports are started, but those sports, pending the proper guidance, could be scheduled to begin again in March. The red bullet is really, and you'll see this again in the recommendations, just as Dr. Alvarez spoke at the beginning about some alterations to our grading policy that we made in relation to the pandemic. We are also going to ask the board to consider reviewing and providing a temporary amendment for board policy 6145 that covers extracurricular activities and grade point averages that are required to participate in those extracurricular activities. Very typically, it's a 2.0. That's stated in Metro Conference bylaws, that's stated in CIF bylaws as well. However, the board and the superintendent can implement a period of academic probation where students can be allowed to participate as they work towards improving their grades to make sure they're getting to that 2.0 grade point average mark. And so we'll be in the recommendation section asking the board to consider that and allowing for the superintendent to not just very typically that's allowed for ninth graders because they're entering into the high school program, but we would in this case during the pandemic would like the board to consider that for all students to be able to participate in athletics is in the next few weeks, having them be able to participate on an academic probationary status where if they're not quite out of 2.0, they have a chance to bring their grades up to continue to participate in sports, but they can start in sports.
Dr. Salko?
Thank you, Dr. Alvarez, and good evening, board trustees. The slide here, we've shared at previous board presentations. It displays the financial information that we've received as a district to address learning loss mitigation and other items such as personal protective equipment and all the necessary supports as we navigate through the pandemic and those considerations. Two key things to note that have changed since our prior updates is related to the federal legislation at the end of December with the stimulus bill. As you can see under the Coronavirus Relief Fund, which is our resource 3220, that we were working with a deadline at the time under the legislation of December 30th, 2020. That has now changed to this end of this year, December 31st, 2021.
And also most recently, as part of that legislation, we received an update from the California Department of Education just a few weeks ago on the allocation of additional funding sources. It's known as the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund Part 2. You'll hear us say ESSER Part 2. And so that allocation amount is a little over $34 million. We're still working through those details and how that'll be allocated. The funds itself, in terms of the dollars, the cash, have not been received, but the allocation has been provided. One other item to note, since our last board update, is we did have a discussion at our last Audit and Finance Subcommittee meeting on February 16th, where we also went in a little bit more detail about different requirements and things that the district is doing regarding the CARES Act. As noted on this slide, we do have information that's posted periodically, particularly the quarterly reports that are required to be submitted to the California Department of Education, which is displayed on our district website, which is on this slide as well as a reference. I'd like to transition back to Dr. Alvarez. Thank you.
Thank you. So as Dr. Salkeld mentioned, the Corona Relief Fund, the GEAR funds, all the ESSER funds are really under the CARES Act guidance, along with the Learning Continuity Plan. And as we've mentioned, since the Learning Continuity Plan was heard by the board in early September, adopted on September 28th, and then continued with several stages of review by the county and then brought back to the board, we continue to offer the small group supports. We hired temporary teachers at each school site to ensure that we had in-person instruction, in-person interventions. The virtual tutoring and after-school and Saturday tutoring and Saturday academies were part of that plan. We also, as been mentioned, the supplies and materials for distance learning and in-person instruction